You mentioned the issue of the fact that pre-medications, corticosteroids, antihistamines are not necessarily with nab-paclitaxel. I wanted to tell you to get your take on this. I know you have an interest in looking at patterns of care, and so do we. And we just did a survey about a month ago and of 150 randomly selected medical oncologists in the United States. And one of the things we asked them was, do you prescribe corticosteroids and antihistamines when you're using nab? And 30% said yes. And of the 51 investigators, virtually none said yes. Tremendous gap.
That's fascinating, Neil. I mean, your surveys are really so interesting to me because they really get at the heart of what's happening out there in the community.
What do you think is going on there?
I think it's inertia. I think it's total inertia. I think that pretty much everybody has seen a paclitaxel reaction, and they're very scary. I mean, the last thing you want to do is get out your crash cart in the middle of your infusion center. And we do that occasionally, and it really is a very emotional experience and one you don't forget. So because those drugs are pretty non-toxic and can be given, and there's a lot of experience, people are still doing it. It just supports the idea that we need to do better education around these things, and that, in my opinion, there's no reason to give pre-medication for nab-paclitaxel, and that's just a vestige of giving a lot of paclitaxel with Cremafor that causes a problem.
Yeah, and I mean, the trials that actually study NAB don't use pre-medication. That's what we're basing our decisions on, is using it that way. I was curious, I noticed that you were part of a group that presented a paper at ASCO on the prevalence of insomnia in cancer patients at this last ASCO meeting. And I was thinking about, I wonder how much of the insomnia that you see in cancer patients is related to corticosteroids. Any thoughts on that?
I think the acute insomnia is at least part related to corticosteroids. We see a lot of anxiety and insomnia in breast cancer patients. And if we can do away with medicines that you don't need, certainly that have some side effects, not only insomnia, but also diabetes we see, or at least temporary rise in blood sugars very commonly for patients getting high-dose corticosteroids. I think, why should we keep giving them unless there's a real scientific and medical rationale to do it? So I agree. By the way, insomnia, we have a symptom screener that we use across all patients now, and it's in 100 clinics. And insomnia and sexual dysfunction are the number one and two problems that all cancer patients, but particularly breast cancer patients, report even years after their treatment. So these are big issues that are not going away, and they probably reflect, to some extent, normal populations, but probably exaggerated in breast cancer patients. And we don't have good handles on how to deal with them. I think that's the next frontier for medical oncologists that do breast oncology, is to also start focusing on some of these chronic problems.